Hello, people of the world. It is it's Sunday, people, and that can only mean one thing, but not for the last 2 weeks, unfortunately. It is the Ben Briggs podcast right here, right now. I don't know why I'm saying it like fucking Chemical Brothers. Yes, we are back, people. After a sabbatical of 2 weeks, we've had to take 2 weeks off due to technical issues. Should we call it technical issues? I don't know. Lethargy, technical issues, little bit of both, maybe. We had an issue uploading I had an issue fucking uploading to the internet, people, but I have not been able to regain the ability to do so for the other episodes. And I thought, being as I'm recording this one now, fuck it, I'll just make this episode 315 and we'll move on from there. So it is Sunday, people. Sunday the 10th. Is that right? 10th of December? 10th of December 2023. Here we are, all flustered, but we've started again, people. That's it. I hope you've been well out there. I hope you've been staying safe in the fucking cold weather out there, people. It's been freezing the last couple of weeks. I don't know. This is what we do in this country, isn't it? We moan about it. When it's too warm, we moan about it. And when it's too cold, we moan about it. When it's about 22 degrees, that's ideal. That's what I have my heating set on at home. Eating away at my personal finances to try and keep this place warm. But it has been fucking cold. The older I get, the more I feel it in my toes. I feel it in my fingers, I feel it in my toes. I'm like a wet, wet, wet song when it comes to winter. But yeah, my fucking hands go fucking blue. My toes go cold. Circulation, that is, isn't it? Something's happening inside, isn't there? You know, 3-4 years time, first stroke, I think. Second stroke, about 5 years after that, boom, gone. That could be it, people. This could be the future we're looking forward to. Hopefully not. Let's try and work against this. Try and keep this body fit. Anyway, I hope you're staying warm out there. I have been doing my regular thing of gigging, writing, etc. Within the past 2 weeks that I've not been in touch with you. All the gigs for the past couple of weeks have gone smoothly. Nice and fun. I'm sort of like weaning in new material, but it's not quite there yet. So I'd say all the gigs have been going smoothly for the last couple of weeks. They have, absolutely. Apart from last night, people. Ah, dear. Holy fucking shit, was last night a gig. This is one, well, it's one that's going to stick in the memory. Let's put it that way. The people who booked me for it are absolutely lovely. The promoters, I fucking get on with the promoter. He's sound, lovely bloke. Books great nights around the sort of like Cambridgeshire area. Absolutely fantastic. I love him. I won't name them because I don't know how well it's going to come across. And I don't know if he'd want to be named. So, I think I've probably narrowed it down for people who know in the business enough there anyway, just by saying the location. So last night, let's start this. I'm going to need a cup of tea for this, I think. I'm going to need a cup of tea definitely for this. There we go. So last night I got a gig. I'm a late replacement. I'm doing a middle spot, right? I'm a late replacement for the gig. The gig's in Newmarket, and I know nothing about, the only thing I know about Newmarket is when I hear it on the TV and it says live from Newmarket, I always switch it over because I know it's going to be horse racing. All I know about Newmarket is horse racing. That's all I know. They've got a big racetrack there. As you're driving in, I've never been to Newmarket before. I doubt if I'll be very welcome going back, but we'll see in the future. As you're driving into Newmarket, I think the racetrack is on your right-hand side. It was difficult to tell because there's one big long road as you're driving into Newmarket, and it seems like you're miles out on the outskirts, and then all of a sudden you're down the high street. You see it on the sat nav and it says 0.4 miles and it looks like you're in the middle of nowhere. And it said 0.4 miles to the high street. So I get there. I park up round the corner. I've managed to park in like the centre of somewhere, which never happens, like in a residential street. I get into the gig and it's actually on the drive-in, they've got like statues of like horse racers and things like that. I think the parking for the racetrack is on the left-hand side and the actual racetrack is on the right-hand side as you drive in. It's fucking freezing cold in there as well. It's like a big hall in the middle of Newmarket. It's quite busy. I think there's about 150 people there, but they're kind of all like squashed together in the hall. It's massive, big ceiling. There's a big stage where there's a distance between you and the audience. The room is like a cavernous room, which is not the nicest sort of room to do at the best of times, to be honest. You want it like kind of close, kind of intimate. Everybody feels a bit less exposed within the audience in that sort of environment. You can see everybody in the audience from the stage. But the night gets underway. The MC, who also runs the gig, is doing his thing. He's chatting to the crowd. They're not giving a lot back, to be honest. They're not really that interactive an audience. They're not really... You know, they're giving one-word answers and that. The only person who's joining in is some woman who's on the front row who's absolutely shit-faced. She's with a partner. She is going to be the star of the show up until the kind of second section. So the first act, MC's not getting a lot from the audience, but they're doing a good job, as good a job as they can do. Within that, they're a good MC, so look at me not naming names, but they're a good MC, and they're getting stuff out of the audience, even though they're reluctant to give it up. Let's put it that way, right? First act goes on, he starts off doing really well, and then the woman kind of at the front just keeps chipping in. First act handles it really well. And sort of like squashes her a few times, but gets a bit stuck on her a couple of times. And he's sort of like got the crowd on his side, though. That's the main thing. He's got the crowd on his side. This kind of sort of like turning it against this woman at the front. She's like a surveyor or something. She's out with a fella. She's blasted. She's been drinking all day. She's sitting right on the front row to the right, as you look out towards the right-hand side. As you're looking down. So that section goes all right. Then there's a break. Then I'm on next. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. So she could be a bit of an issue, but like everybody else, it seems sound, right? In the break and that, nothing really happens. And then the MC starts again. So... this woman keeps chipping in to the MC. Obviously, the MC runs the gig as well. So at the end of it, like about 5 minutes into MCing this bit, he just turns around and says, look, if you don't shut the fuck up, you're going to have to go. I've never done this before, he's gone, but you're going to have to go. So everybody sort of like starts cheering and things like that. And then they're against that couple or whatever. And to be fair to them, they shut the fuck up. Like she did shut the fuck up. She didn't leave, but she did shut the fuck up. And that's great. But there was an uneasy sort of kind of raucous feeling in the room. It was kind of like a weird feeling. Like I'm waiting in the wings backstage waiting to go on, like just around the corner from where it's empty, and it just seemed like a bit of an uneasy, you know, somebody had shouted out for them to shut the fuck up, and a couple of other people had as well. And it just seemed like a bit of a strange atmosphere I was walking into. So I go on. I get introduced, I go on. I make a bit of small talk at the start, like just saying how cold it was and things like that backstage. And then I go into doing stuff about COVID. And it gets a bit of an uneasy response, right? They're fucking jokes, right? It's a bold opening, but it's a joke, right? So it gets a bit of an uneasy response, and then a few people start laughing, and that's nice. And everything seems settled down, and it's okay. And then I start getting laughs through some of the other material that I do around that subject, and it's okay. Then I come to the end of that bit where I talk about people who improve themselves during the pandemic, right? That's what I talk about. Like, and the target of the joke, for those who don't get it, because apparently some people don't get the difference between a subject of a joke and the actual target of the joke. The target of that particular joke is people who are boasting about improving themselves as millions of people around the world are dying, right? That's it. That's the target of the joke. And to show how ridiculous that is, I use a stretched example of another situation in history where millions of people have died around the world, and people walking out of that scenario, i.e. the Holocaust, or Auschwitz actually, and boasting about how they've been doing great in that as millions of people around the world are dying. That's it. That's it. That's all it is. It's just a simile, right? That's all it is. I say it's like, bang. That simile right there, just to show how ridiculous those people are who did that during the pandemic. But for some reason, because you use the word Auschwitz, everybody gets upset about it. It's a fucking simile. I'm using the worst case scenario there to show how ridiculous those people were. So at that point, when I hit that line, some woman gets up and just says, you know, three women get up, I think, at this stage. This is it. I see three women get up and I say, oh, are you getting up to go? And they turn around and go, yeah, you're not funny, like that. And at that point, a guy at the front says, oh, I think you're funny. Keep going. So that was kind of nice. I got a bit of support. Sometimes it's really weird. It's very odd. I know humour is meant to be subjective, right? It's meant to be subjective. But you can see, you know, if people are laughing, when people say in the audience or someone will shout out, you're not funny when other people are laughing, it's a very odd thing to say. Because you can say, I don't find you funny. But people never say that. They'll always shout out, you know, you're not funny, which I always find an interesting response to how they dictate, that person is dictating what is and what is not funny. The fucking balls behind that, you know, the ego behind that actual statement when you actually look at it, is I don't find you funny, so therefore you're not funny. All right, let's not get too bogged down in this, but I always find that a weird way of phrasing it. It seems better to phrase it, I don't find you funny, but that's not as crippling an insult as you're not funny, is it? Like somebody saying, I don't find you funny, where you just say, okay. But that's, but you're not funny is more of a loaded, you know, statement, isn't it? It's a very conclusive statement. So the three women get up and go off, right? And I said, oh, is that everybody? Anybody else want to go for a joke? And then two more people get up and they walk out. A couple get up and walk out. And then three more people get up in the middle and walk out. And I was like, oh, holy shit. This has not happened before. This has not happened. So then it became quite amusing to me. And then we were okay for a bit. I think I started the next bit, which is about being single and, you know, being voted in as the local paedophile because I'm getting old and single. There's more to it than that, by the way. There's more to the line by that. But I think we lost two more. It was like a weird version of Squid Game, where the longer we went on, the more people we were losing. And then it seemed to, at the end of that bit, everything seemed to settle down a little bit. I think I lost 10 or 12, I think, between the end of that bit about judging people, about, you know, people improving themselves during the pandemic, and the end of that bit about being single and being old, which is possibly a three, four minute bit. So in 3-4 minutes, we lost about 12 people out of 13. No, out of about 150, I think we're there, which you feel bad about, obviously, because you know the promoter's going to probably get some shit because, you know, nobody ever just leaves. That's the other thing. Nobody ever, and they didn't just leave, get up and go, not for me. Thank you very much, but not for me. They never do that at all. They do the same fucking thing all the time. They'll make a big deal out of it. They make a big deal of leaving. They don't just walk straight out. You know, nobody's that polite. They always want to get a little dig in about something on the way out. They have to feel like they win something when they go, which is all complete. I was quite relaxed, to be honest. I just wanted to enjoy the night and have a good gig. But nobody ever just leaves. You know, like the three women who initially left, they were hanging around in the foyer outside. And then as other people walked out, they obviously had to have a discussion in the foyer about how offended or upset they were about it, which is, you know, it's there because people like to club together, don't they? And have, you know, we were doing the same thing in the gig inside. You know, everybody left there was, it became sort of like an ongoing joke at the end of every bit that I did, that if anybody wanted to leave, they can go after that joke or after that joke. And it kind of, in a weird way, bonded everybody together, which is why I can see why people do that. You know, this is why people online, you know, you find your little niche online, don't you, of everything that you hate. And then, you know, that kind of bonds you together, doesn't it? It's not very often people bond over things they love online, is it? It's always, you know, into groups where they are hating on something else. Maybe that says something about human nature. I don't know. Let's have some more tea. So at this stage of the gig, we've lost a few. The initial three women, they're milling around. They've come back in to go to the toilet, I think, because they need to do that for some reason. They haven't thought through the protest. I don't know whether they've got a little bit excited or what, but not in a weird way, not in a sexual way, obviously, but like, you know, I am a man of a certain age. And I need to go for the loo every like half an hour. I imagine women of my age are exactly the same, and they look older than me. So I don't know. I'm not casting any aspersions over them, but maybe all the excitement. I have no idea. So they're kind of milling around outside and things like that. And then the gig, obviously I keep referring to the situation because you're like, oh shit, if anybody else gets up. Although there's not as bad, there's not as sort of like challenging ideas in the last bits of the material that I was doing. So it was kind of like everybody was on board. If anything, it's really weird. You've got people, it was a very weird gig to gauge because you've got people walking out over those sort of jokes. And then you've got somebody on the front row wanting you to go further with stuff. It was a very, as I said at the time, it was a very difficult gig to play, you know, to gauge that audience. If you went in there and you wanted to give somebody, the whole audience, do one joke that would be applicable to the whole audience, it would be something like a joke about cats that would satisfy like the older women in the room who, and then the younger lads in the room, you know, I don't know, being fisted. It would be a joke, a sweet joke about cats being fisted. If you could amalgamate those into a joke, that would be like exactly what that audience wanted. They wanted jokes about cats, 50% of them, well, not even that, probably about 10% of them, and then the other 90% just wanted to see the cat get fisted or run over. I have no idea. So I finished the set and they're really sweet. They're lovely. I think I looked at my watch about, I was going to go into something else and it was about 19 minutes I'd done. So I sort of like said, thanks for being cool. I was proud of the people who stayed and then sort of like got a nice applause at the end and went off. So that was that. And the gig was done, and then all I had to do was walk back through the crowd. That was fine. So you have to come back from the back of the stage. We had a little bit of chat after the gig. I said to Jason, sorry about the fucking walkouts or whatever, and he was cool about it. Because you don't want to affect somebody's business, do you? I know how hard those guys work to set up those nights. And you don't want the material that you do to affect their business. And what happens is, as has been subsequently relayed to me, is that people like that who don't like something these days, which is essentially what it was, they didn't like the material that I did. That was it. They didn't like it. That's all. They just didn't like it. They found it offensive, which, you know, on a scale of, you know, one thing to another. But then those people would demand a refund because they didn't like something. Can you imagine going into a pizza place, ordering a pizza that you've never ordered before? Right? You've never seen that pizza before. You've ordered it. You eat that pizza and then you say, I don't like it. I want a full refund. It's fucking insane. So it's just absolutely insane. You go into a comedy night. You've chosen to walk out early. You could just say, okay, this isn't for me. This guy's not for me. Or this... that joke's not really for me. That's okay. Let's see what else is coming up or what other act is coming up or whatever. But no, you chose to leave and go home. You chose to do that. I didn't make you do that. and now you want a refund. Apparently, one of the women, I don't know, was talking about getting me cancelled. I don't know what you can get me cancelled from. Possibly this podcast. I don't know if I mentioned this on the last podcast. It was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. I watched an interesting documentary about Shakespeare, right? And it's on the BBC. I think I did mention it. And about how he mentioned a contemporary name of somebody. And he used that in his play. And the guy was dead, but his wife was alive. And the wife got his theatre closed down. Now, I'm not saying I'm on the same writing par as William Shakespeare. But people going on about cancel culture and how it's like a modern day thing. It's not. It's been going on forever. You know, Lenny Bruce, literally cancelled by the police and people of his day. You know, if you believe in free speech, as I do, then you have to believe in everybody having that free speech. So these people, I don't hold anything against them at all. Why would I? You know, I was very polite as they were leaving. I didn't like, you know, barrack them or heckle them as they were going. Seems to be a bit inappropriate thing to do. As they were, like, some of them hurling a bit of abuse as they were going. But, you know, that's their choice. It's an emotive thing, isn't it? It is interesting how people can watch a film or watch a play or watch any other theatre activity and realise that in films, people aren't really getting murdered, or they aren't really, you know, being killed, or somebody being attacked, or, you know, they understand that their people are playing a role, or they're saying what they not necessarily think. Whereas that seems to all go out the window with stand-up comedy, and everybody takes you on face value for comedy. It's comedy. It's written on your ticket, right? The attempt of everything, whether somebody achieves that or not, the attempt is to make you laugh. Whether you think that's achieved, whether that's not your brand of humor or whatever, that's the attempt. To try and make you laugh. But yeah, it's very odd when people take everything you say literally. Anyway, let's have some tea. So, as I'm walking out, quite a few people, and it was really sweet, and I did say to one lady, that's really sweet when she said it, and she goes, it's not sweet, I'm just being honest. And I was like, all right, okay, don't you start kicking off as well. But a lot of people were saying they really enjoyed it and questioning why those people left. And, they were just really sweet as I was walking by. And there was kind of like nice atmosphere. It's kind of weird. There was kind of like very bonded atmosphere between everybody as I was leaving. And I'm not saying that I had really anything to do with that, but it's kind of like when you've gone through... You know, firstly, the annoying couple on the front row, who said nothing, by the way, while I was on stage. there was moments where I was hoping that they'd pop out with something and they were just stum through everything. I couldn't tell whether they enjoyed my set or didn't enjoy my set, but Jason had done such a good job of shutting them down that they didn't even say a word. So I take my hat off to them. Yeah, so as I'm walking back out, I was like, whether I have a good gig or a bad gig in those circumstances, I always walk through the crowd if I have to. You know, I've been offered to walk round the back ways from gigs sometimes, and I've never taken anybody off up on the offer. I always walk through the crowd. I think it shows willing, and you don't have to be, you're doing the material on stage. You don't have to be a coward and go out the back way. You walk through the crowd. If anybody's got an issue with anything you said, you can always talk to them on the way out. That's fine. So I walked through. I was expecting people to be, because they were still hanging around in the lobby, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to walk through them and probably take a bit of abuse. But by the time I got there, which was before the start of the last section, they'd all gone anyway. So they must have been on their way home. The sad thing about that is they probably probably missed out on the rest of the night, which they would have enjoyed. The headliner is really great. He's a completely different act to me. He does quite surreal stuff. If you don't like one thing, just stay for the others. You know, I don't understand the logic behind having that much of a closed mind that you would just abandon all hope, and that's completely ruined your night. Those jokes that were said, those jokes that you heard at a comedy night, that's what they are. And people had said, you know, it was that, it just beggars belief how much people want to be offended these days, because there's power in that. There's power in being offended. There's power in that, you know. You're not content with just saying, oh, not for me, I'll listen to the next guy or whatever. Or, you know, oh, I'm just going to leave the room. It's not really my thing. So I'll leave the room and I'll come back for the next guy. No, but then you want something that you don't like absolutely cancelled and taken off and completely got rid of. That's what you want, because it's that far removed from what you actually like. Imagine how much of a fucking bland world we would live in if these people actually controlled what we were entertained by. Or, you know, and maybe sometimes things are going to miss the mark. You know, maybe you're not going to be, you know, you're going to miss the mark with an audience or get a joke slightly wrong or something like that. But it may lead to something fucking great, you know. It may lead to somebody touching on a subject that somebody's never really thought of before and actually might help somebody out. I don't know. Or help us understand it a little bit more. I don't know, people. Maybe that's too grandiose. Anyway, what are we on? 32 minutes. 32 minutes talking about one gig. Anyway, what a way to come back, people. I can also feel a cold coming on as well. I might pick something up. So that's not absolutely fantastic, I must admit. So that was last night's gig, people. It ended well in the end with the people who remained. Nobody ever wants to see anybody walking out. You know, to a certain degree, not everybody's going to get your stuff. But walking out is a very public demonstration of people not understanding your stuff or not having the same sense of humour as you. But yeah, as for, you know, the cancellation and that, I'm not really sure what people can cancel me from. Maybe other gigs, maybe. I don't know. It depends how far. You see, with anything like that, an apology is never enough. Not that I'd apologise for anything anyway, because I don't feel I have the need to. I don't think I need to. An apology is never enough from what I've seen. They'll try and cancel you from anything. That's what they want to do. They want to have a lasting impression on your life. They want you to give up what you're doing because they don't agree with it, which seems somewhat of an overstatement for somebody, you know, who was telling a joke. I don't know. I don't know. It just seems too much, really, doesn't it? It seems quite ridiculous. I hope this hasn't come across as smug or anything like that, because no, it's just trying to wrap your head around the thought process somebody has of that. Anyway, if you've got any thoughts on that, email me info@benbriggs.co.uk. Boom. I imagine I may be getting a few emails winging their way to me over the next week or so. I'll enjoy that, admin. This has been episode 315, people. Holy fucking shit, what a way to come back. I shall be back next week. Have a good week. What we got left? We've got 15 days until Christmas. 2 weeks tomorrow, innit? 2 weeks tomorrow. So I'll be doing one on Christmas Eve. Holy shit, nice. We'll have to do something special then, won't we? Okay. Just do a whole half-hour episode pissed on mulled wine or something. I don't know. Anyway, that is episode 315, people. I shall be back next Sunday without fail. Now we've got the technical issues sorted out here at Briggs Towers. Have a great week. Take care. Live your best life and don't go around cancelling people. Thank you. Goodbye. Take care.